In 1937, Edward Weston became the first photographer to be awarded a Guggenheim grant. The prestigious art award allowed Weston to do what he'd wanted to do for a long time, focus full-time on the landscapes of California and the West. Those photographs are at the heart of a major exhibition running through the summer at the Huntington Library in San Marino, California. And NPR's Renee Montaigne paid a visit.
If you want to conjure up a Weston right now, imagine a giant nautilus shell sliced in half, glowing against a dark background, revealing the delicate, sensuous curves of its inner chambers. Still lifes of shells and peppers made Edward Weston famous, even as he made his living taking portraits in his studio in Carmel, California. By the time he was awarded the Guggenheim, Weston was 51 years old, he'd separated from his wife, and he'd taken up with a beautiful young woman named Karis. Huntington curator of photography Jennifer Watts says that while the grant wasn't a lot of money, it did offer a lot of freedom.
One of the things that people don't realize about Weston was that he was always impoverished, and he was able to buy a new Ford automobile. They crammed all their possessions in this car, including their food for weeks on end and all the camera equipment. They camped, they ate dried fruit. Going to a motel was out of the question. It was just way too luxurious. And they essentially went on in this kind of hobo journey.
An epic road trip is how Weston described it. With a stack of Auto Club maps in hand, he and Karis headed out. Yosemite, the Mojave Desert, a side trip to Oregon, and on to what curator Jennifer Watts calls Edward Weston's muse, Death Valley. There he created photographs that blurred the line between an image and an abstract. Dunes ripple like the ocean. Dunes etched in circles look like a scene that is either very far away or extremely close. Either the moon's craters or an octopus's tentacle. Standing in the gallery, Jennifer Watts points to another photograph where scale is distorted. It was taken, she says, just after a flash flood from a cliff overlooking a place in Death Valley called Dante's Inferno. Here, velvety black is shot through with ribbons of silver.
He, in this one image, captures the sheen of the water, the sunlight hitting just perfectly, and the rivulets coming down through the center of the image. And when he first saw this spot, he set up his tripod and he got up to the top and he looked down and he said, my God, over and over again. He was so excited and so overwhelmed by the scene. Meanwhile, there were two women with Kodak cameras standing next to him saying, what's the big deal? What does he see that we don't see?
What did he see? There is a question we might put to all photographers. In Weston's case, says Jennifer Watts, what he saw brilliantly was, as Weston put it, the very substance and quintessence of the thing itself.
This idea of rock, water, trees put together in a pretty picturesque scene is not what Weston is about. He's really about finding the form in nature, whether it be the gnarled stump of a tree or an incredible formation of clouds, and honing in on that in a very, very clear, concise, framed way.
Framed quite literally. Edward Weston was the rare, if not unique, photographer who never cropped his pictures. What he got was what he shot through the ground glass of the lens. And not for Weston what he called the Ain't Nature Grand School of Photography, whose most celebrated practitioner was Weston's good friend Ansel Adams. When Edward Weston aimed his camera at a snow-covered bough or a soaring mountain, he was seeking something within, says Jennifer Watts.
Weston was something of an ascetic. He relished being alone for days at a time. He was a real solitary figure. And I think what comes through in the Weston work is there's a real contemplative, almost zen-like quality to some of these images, where he's really examining it in a way that is distilling it down to its essence. And that's what Weston was about, was finding the essence of the natural form and the purity of natural form. Finding the beauty in the commonplace, that's what he often said.
We are standing now before a close-up of an old high-heeled shoe laying in a heap at the side of the road next to a rusty tin can.
You have this flattened shoe, quite fancy, maybe something a flapper would have worn. This was the 30s. And then next to it, a Van Camp Pork and Beans and a little broken glass here in the foreground as well. But I think Weston, what he was attempting to do here was not just show how that these disparate pieces function together, but also making a comment on what's going on in the country at the time, which is a real desperate state of poverty and destitution, and that comes through in this image, yet it's an exceedingly beautiful one as well.
In his day, Weston did take some flack for not making photographs that spoke more directly about the troubles of the world. This was, after all, 1937. America was deep in the Great Depression, and some of Weston's most talented contemporaries, like Dorothea Lange, had signed on to photograph sharecroppers and such for the WPA. But Edward Weston believed in the possibilities of the abstract, photographs that, in his words, take one beyond the world we know in the conscious mind. Weston's year-long trek through Death Valley and the West was the most productive of his life, and it turned out to be his last great burst of creativity. Soon after his return, Karis left, and then Parkinson's disease left him unable to print his own photographs. The current exhibition at the Huntington Library is titled Edward Weston, A Legacy. And to get a look at these images, go to npr.org. I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR West, Los Angeles.